Unpackers. We are here. I am here with my friend, my good friend, my podcast mate.
Reese. We don't know who you are.
Yeah, we don't need to know who I am. No, joking. I'm Tay. And we are just happy to be coming up on our season 3 release.
Yes.
But we had a few bonus episodes for you all. I hope that you enjoyed our reaction to the Harlem finale.
Yes.
We really enjoyed watching it this season with friends, Gary and Tiffany, who you heard on that episode. That was a lot of fun. So we said, you know what? Let's do something else, but a little more centered on what's going on and things that we want to celebrate as two Black people. We definitely couldn't miss the opportunity to celebrate Black History Month.
Yeah, and we're Black members of 365. But we also wanted to do something a little bit more formal.
Yeah.
Black History Month. There's actually been a lot of stuff in the news, if you're paying attention. Things going on in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
So I do think that just ending the month to talk about like our own experiences, and we call this like having hard conversations around race.
Yes.
Because to me, we use the word racism. Of course, I believe in it.
Yeah.
But right now, we're so polarized, and we can use these terms, and it shuts down conversation.
Yes.
And what I really believe is, one, we're all human beings, and we all have biases.
Yes.
That's a more friendly
term.
We all
do.
But when it comes down to race, just seeing it more as a skill people can learn instead of a moral failing.
Agreed. I like that. Because I know that for me, when we think about when I think about Black History Month and how, you know, we get February and the shortest month has always been a lot of people's arguments, all those different things. It just makes me reflect on when Dresden was in kindergarten. I tell this story a lot to people, especially teachers, when I'm interacting with them about February. So my daughter was in kindergarten in South Carolina, and her teacher came to me and said that, oh, we're talking about Black History Month. And, you know, she was talking about Martin Luther King and the civil rights movements and the schools. So schools, as we all know, if there are two people that your children are going to learn about Black History Month, is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Sis Rosa Parks. That is who you are going to hear about at school, with no fail. Some other ones might be mentioned to you, but for the most part, your kids know exactly who those two people are. And Dresden came home that day and was telling me, you know, one of the little boys in the class told her, oh, well, she was the only Black child in her class. Oh, you would be at the Black school, Dresden. And of course, as a parent, as a person that knows children, that child was not saying anything but reacting to the fact that you're showing me a video that says Black children go here, white children go there. He saw a Black child and he said, oh, you'd be at the other school.
Mm-hmm.
It's an observation.
Yeah.
Or being in South Carolina, we all know he could already be in wearing his hoods to the meeting. Okay. No offense. I'm from South Carolina, so don't start. But we never know how it was taken. But I chose to look at the innocent approach. Mm-hmm. I chose to say, this is what you're showing him. So he's going to react that way. Teacher, you should be prepared.
Yeah.
For whatever came out of this lesson, you know, but of course she wasn't. And when I reached out to her and I kind of was inquiring, how is this being taught? What are we doing? Trying to explain it better to my child. She basically said, oh, I hate when we have to do Black History Month because it puts us in a bad situation where we're like teaching children that people are mean.
Reality? Oh my God.
So I'm like, okay, you know, in the meeting with her, but I went on to explain to her, I think if that's what you think Black History Month is, you are completely missing the point.
Yeah.
You know, it is not about making your ancestors look bad. It's about empowering mine.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, and sometimes we can't do one without the other.
Well,
the focus was, oh my gosh, that story always makes me so crazy. And now as I walk in and out of these schools and The only thing you see is a billboard with some Black History stuff pasted up there, with those two beautiful human beings along with a few others. And that's all they see. They might do a crossword puzzle. Because I remember when I was in school, it was usually a worksheet.
Yeah.
That was centered around Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Or something of that time that we had to do. It was usually a worksheet. It wasn't a discussion. It wasn't like anything. We might have watched that I Have a Dream speech for a few minutes. But it was never anything so involved, just like it is now in schools. Yeah. And it has not changed in all those years, yeah. You know?
Well, I would say, you know, I'm grateful for my education because I was probably, you know, in the gifted classes and things like that. So it was just different. We had more exploration.
Right.
But still not enough. The one story I like to share that I feel is really symbolic of how we learn about race in this country mm-hmm. is the first time I realized that the color of my skin would allow me, I'd be judged by it. Mm-hmm. So I was in first grade and I had a crush on the cutest girl in my class. Mm-hmm. And so I went to her and I said, hey, will you be my girlfriend?
Oh my goodness.
And again, I remember this very exactly. I was 7 years old. She was six because I was a little older in my class and things like that. And she said no. So I asked her, I said, well, you know, why?
Yeah.
And her response was, because you're Black and I'm white.
Wow. She was already aware of that.
Yeah, exactly. And so it was, again, it was traumatic at that moment. It was like glass shattering. And what I took away from that conversation, I said internally in that moment, I said, I will never judge someone by the color of their skin because I was so hurt by it. And, you know, never have forgotten that moment. And this is someone we went through all of elementary school together, went to the same high school, graduated. And that's been an impactful moment to me. It's made me who I am because how I've tried to navigate through the world is, okay, I'm going to learn this person. I'm not going to try to judge them. Yes. They're like, oh, they're Black, they're Latino, whatever. And, you know, years later, we actually reconnected over Facebook and I brought that up to her. And she's like, I don't even remember that.
Wow.
And I think that that is the reality when we're talking about race.
Exactly.
Is that, again, there is research. Children start picking up these lessons when they're like 3 and 4. And it becomes background noise. And we all, as adults, we can hear that conversation like, oh, that's a racist statement.
Right.
We know that that child made a racist statement.
Right.
She has just forgotten that it was there. And so when, as an adult, in her dating life, maybe she's choosing, you know, all white guys. And it's like, oh, it's my preference.
Yes.
Or I'm not going to hire this person because there's something about it. Because it's subconscious. Very it's there. So. But for the people who are on the outside, who are the, you know, who have to deal with the decisions, I can't ever forget it.
Exactly.
And so if we just give grace to each other to say, wait a minute, we are taught things. And whether it's race, sexism, et cetera, because I give the example of myself. I was bullied when I was little. Mm-hmm. And so I was called faggot and things of that nature. And so being really effeminate was seen as a negative. And so I still to this day have to work through being uncomfortable around someone who's really, really effeminate.
Okay.
And, but that's my issue.
Wow.
You know, and that's really.
But it spills.
Exactly. Absolutely. But you have to learn how to say, wait a minute, I own what's internally happening to me. And it's not that other person's fault.
Right.
And I think, again, that's why it's a skill for people of color, for Black people in this country, and say Black, for Black people in this country, for us to be successful, we normally have to learn how to navigate white spaces.
This is true.
White people in this country don't have to do that.
No, they don't.
They do not have to go and be the only white person in the room.
They do not.
And so because you don't do that, you do not have the skills.
Right.
And it's learning those skills, like showing up where to the Black club or the cookout and learning what not to say and learning what how to code switch.
Right.
You know, because it's really funny. I saw a video recently of NFL quarterback,
mm-hmm.
and he was high-fiving, like, people. But when he got to his black teammate, he was, like, doing
handshake.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
But then the other was like, oh. Yeah, but that's what it is like you have to get comfortable around other cultures.
Yes, we do.
And learn how to speak their language, learn how to love them for who they are.
Right.
I told, I think, often the white friends in my life, because again, I'm educated and things like that, I make them comfortable.
Sure.
But you have to know, but my family isn't all, you know, I have poor friends. Family have gone to jail and think I still love them.
Of course.
And so you have to love people that are not just the cream of the crop.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, that have had the same experience.
Absolutely.
That you have, but you have to learn black people that look like, oh, they crack it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I love them.
You know? Their family.
Exactly.
Real talk.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Because, you know, I have white people that I associate with, of mm-hmm. course. I have other race people that I associate with, but one of my very good friends, she's Italian, but she's white, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she and I always laugh about certain things because she tells me her family background and things go on with her family and how her family was. And it's very similar to my family.
Yeah.
But when you look at the two of us, you wouldn't think we came from similar situations, like, you know, fathers being kind of disassociated or absent, like relatives that are crazy, like you wouldn't think,
mm-hmm.
but we have very similar backgrounds. And I think that's what gives us the love that we have, because we can actually relate to one another because we look past what we look like on the outside. Sure. When she and I walk, has happened, when she and I walk into a restaurant, they're going to talk to her first. You know, there are certain things that are just going to happen. Or when I walk, when our group walks in with her, she's our only, you know, she's the only white one. So like when we all get together, she's the only white girl amongst all these black women, a white woman around all these black women. And I can see, you know, we know, like people probably look at her like, girl, you okay? Give us a sign. What you doing? But we see it. It's a visible difference. And we choose to be friends and interact and love each other in spite of.
Yeah. Well, and this can, and you know, it's, as I said, it's learning.
Yeah.
I know one of my, this guy that I know, he is like redhead, beard, and he like joined A5A.
Okay.
Because, you know, and this, but it's because he has immersed himself in the culture.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and I think a lot of times, unfortunately, too many white people in this country are just simply allow themselves to stay in fear.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, that's so different. It's like, you go to Africa. Right. Like, it's, but you won't go to Harlem.
Right.
Like, you won't go to Brooklyn. Like,
exactly.
you won't go into your own. Exactly.
In tribal gear, but you won't come see us doing as well as you are.
Yes.
Yeah, it's crazy. It, like you said, it's internal, and they probably don't even realize that that's a problem. Most of the time when we are fighting against something like that, as you said, it comes from way back, things that we picked up watching our parents, watching our family. We don't even know what's happening.
Yes. And it's unfortunate that, again, we see these things as moral failings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, I'm not saying you're a bad person.
Right.
We get into shame.
Yes.
Instead of guilt. Guilt makes you take responsibility and accountability.
Right.
And to change your behavior. It's a behavior.
Absolutely.
Shame is like, I'm a bad person. Wait,
you're not
bad.
No.
No one is bad for,
no
one, y'all didn't create slavery or things of that nature. But here we are. We have to be responsible for the systems that were created.
Absolutely.
And because you have the power and the privilege, actually work to change the system.
Yeah.
And raise better humans.
Exactly.
And you can only do that by saying, wait a minute, there is an issue.
Yeah.
There is a problem. And it's not just slavery, because let's just be real. I love someone, you know, I sent you this video, this white man going breaking down the new Jim Crow. But the reality is, I am the first member of my family that has no memory of segregation.
Right. You're
the first.
Right.
I'm 42.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're not talking about slavery.
Right.
My mother has a memory of going to a white only water fountain.
My mom too.
You know,
mom, did she segregate too? Because my mom did that.
Yeah, she was part of that.
Yeah, my mom was a part of that group too, where they actually started to integrate. High school was where she first did it.
Yeah, and so. Yeah. So again, we are not talking about hundreds of years ago. We're talking about present history.
Right now.
You know, so these systems have impacted, are still impacting, you know, people that if you say you love and you care about Black people in your life, you have Black friends. Right. They impacted us.
Right.
So we're not talking about yesterday. And so we do need to acknowledge that these are real hurts.
Right.
And that these are real injustices. And that when we ask, when we are advocating for change, for social justice, for governmental change in, you know, equity for positions or access to funds or development within our communities, it's because this just happened within our lifetime.
Right. It's not your imagination as much as some people would try to convince you. Or, you know, I remember one time when I was in a job about 16, 17 years ago. And I was with my supervisor and I was in HR. We had a team, of course. And then our receptionist and myself, I think I was working in an accounting firm, we're the only Black ones in the office. I won't say for the company, but in that office. And as time went on, they hired a few more. But at first, it was just she and I. And so my boss would ask me, you know, well, when I have lunch and the conference room set up for everybody, like, you'll come get your lunch and go eat lunch with, you know, the receptionist. And she's like, why is that? And I was honest with her. I said, well, because I'm going to be very honest with you. I am more comfortable when I have my free time, my downtime that I get to sit and talk and interact the way I would like to within my 8-hour workday. That's where I'm most comfortable. And she, you know, definitely picked up on the fact that the two of us were Black. And she says, well, you know, I'm Italian. And she and I had the conversation about how, yes, I understand you are Italian, but here when you are at this office, honey, you are not Italian. You are white.
Yeah.
When I am here in this office, I'm Black. When I'm on the street, I'm Black. It doesn't change for me. Yeah. It doesn't change for she and I. We are who we are because it's representative of our skin.
Yeah.
People have decided to define us that way.
Yeah.
But when they see you, they're not going to say, oh, what kind of white are you?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to look at you and see a white woman and leave you alone.
Yeah.
You know, and she, you know, we really had a good conversation about that because her concern was, I feel like you'll miss out on, you know, making good business opportunities, meeting different people, you know. And when she brought that to my attention, I also had to check myself.
Mm-hmm.
Am I trying to be so comfortable that I'm not willing to put myself in some situations, be uncomfortable for a little bit that can benefit me later?
Yeah.
So, you know, it was definitely a mutually beneficial conversation. But she was willing to have that conversation with me at work, you know.
Well, and I think, and again, and this is what I, my own rule of thumb with people is if you have people in your life, so if you have Black people in your life and they don't talk about racism with you, they don't feel comfortable with you. If you have women in your life, they don't talk about sexism or being harassed, they don't feel comfortable with
you. Right.
If you have gay people in your life and they don't talk about being, like, you know, homophobia or things, like, they don't feel comfortable with you.
Yeah.
Because if people feel safe, they're going to bring their whole experience to you. And so you should ask yourself of, like, oh, well, what makes the people in my life not feel comfortable having these conversations?
Right.
Because if you bring it up of, like, feeling like you are a victim, I remember, you know, definitely with, from my perspective, and I think most independent people, our last president was very, very, racially polarizing and how he talked about Black people and many people of color.
Absolutely.
Period. Because that's just right. So for many people in my life, I knew Christians.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I could have given you a pass, the second time voting again, I was a little more disappointed. Because I had one conversation someone I went to college with, was in his wedding. And he was like, he posted that he was voting for the president again.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I was shocked, but I was like, that's your choice.
Sure.
Because I see him as a good person. I believe that he is someone who would not, definitely wouldn't raise his children that way.
Right.
To be that way. But to me, it's like you're enabling it.
Yeah.
You're teaching them the wrong lesson. But when he reached out to me, and I think he was trying to see if I would agree. I'm like, oh, it's okay. I'm like, no. No. And because he, what he said was, you know, there's just so much polarization and yada, yada. And I said, well, if you do not want polarization, then I believe you have to empower people who don't do that.
Exactly.
Like, you have to do the opposite. Exactly. So to me, it's like you don't really care about
the
polarization.
You're not worried
about it, right? Because I've never heard, you know, yes, there's political like going, but the way in which our last president talked about other human beings, forget just race.
Horrible. Yeah.
It's just like was wrong. I never believed I would ever see someone in that position of power. Like call someone
shocked.
An SOB.
Yeah, I'm
like
still
on national TV.
On national TV. I'm still
and
shocked.
So it's just crazy. Again, these are skills.
Yeah.
And what you were talking about is like, oh, well, you had to go and be uncomfortable
yes.
to move ahead.
Absolutely.
Again, that's not white people don't have that experience.
Right. And it's it is definitely unfair, and it puts you in a they can walk in, you know, like going back to that example, like my white supervisor could walk in a room and feel empowered and feel strong and feel, you know, I don't even know if it's comfort, because at that point it becomes a positions of where is my
yeah.
power versus your
yeah.
power.
Yeah.
But she could walk into a room with much more tools ready to let go versus me,
yeah.
who, you know, who is walking into a room under the fact that I am Black.
Mm-hmm.
I am a woman.
Yeah.
I am not in a higher position than any of these people.
Yeah.
My power is lower than most of the people in this room. Like when you look at it that way, you don't want to victimize yourself. You don't want to be the victim. And I don't play that game, but you just have to realize sometimes that the odds, I'll say, are not always going to be in your favor.
Yeah.
And it's up to you how you move, knowing that information. Don't allow it to victimize you to the point where you're sitting somewhere saying, oh, woe is me, the white man got me down. We know that. We carry that. Like you said, 365, 24/7. We know.
Yeah.
But how you move is what's going to empower you in situations
yeah.
like that.
And this is where I am, because I have been fired more in my life than I ever thought I would be. Because, I mean, you work with me.
Yeah.
I am on time. I'm
yeah.
communicative. Great employee. And so what I have learned is, again, I'm going to be somewhere and I'm going to grow, be my authentic self.
Absolutely.
And if I hit walls, then that's just time for me to leave.
Right.
I'm not seeing it as, because again, I just believe in myself that the skills that I bring up, I am compassionate. I am thoughtful.
Right.
And I'm also going to be a person of integrity. If you ask me my opinion, if you hire me, then you've hired me because I have experiences
right.
and I have opinion. So
I
provide
something to bring to the
And
table.
If
Absolutely.
You do not want the opinion, you just want yes person,
yeah,
then that's like it, then well then you're gonna say, oh no, you need to go.
Yeah.
And that's
you're not a good
and
fit.
I think, well, exactly, and I think
yeah.
a lot of times, you know, the cultural fit
yes
for is asking Black people to assimilate.
Absolutely.
To leave part of
so
ourselves, and it goes
true.
From it goes from like the analogy I use is, instead of having cultures that ask you to fit in, do you have cultures that are welcoming
yes.
in?
Yes.
You know, because welcoming in, you know, it's two different images.
They are.
Like fitting in is like, there's a box. We're not moving the box. You got to crush and cut part of yourself
right.
off. Welcoming in is we're going to open up.
Right.
And make room for you.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
fully. And I think that is really, again, when we talk about this country for Black people and Black history, is welcoming in that
yes.
expansion.
Yes.
Because again, Black History Month is, it should just be history. We should
That's
be
it.
Integrated.
Yeah.
At every
everything.
Moment. We have
yeah.
been here since the beginning of this
Come
country.
On now.
Every single point.
Right.
I think it was
I
really
agree.
Interesting. I saw a clip, I didn't watch it, but Angela Davis
mm-hmm.
on like Finding Your Roots, you know,
mm-hmm.
with
Oh yeah.
Did you see that? I saw that clip where
they
she was like
shown the episode.
Yeah, but where she is actually some of her ancestors were on the Mayflower.
Crazy.
Like exactly.
I mean, it's
blackly black.
Crazy.
But yes. That's the reality, especially yes. Southerners.
Absolutely.
We related to each other.
Yeah.
If your family has been here in this country
yeah.
in the South
yeah.
for a while, we all in each other's family tree.
Right.
Sorry.
Right. Yeah, we in there somewhere, and it started with our slave master. But yeah, because my family's name, my grandfather's family's name is Middleton mm-hmm. in Charleston, huge Middleton
plantation.
Like
yeah.
you know.
I knew the Middletons.
Yeah.
I knew one of their family.
Like,
well, I went to school with them.
It's crazy because they have like a yearly kind of like a get together where all the descendants are able to come. And my mom always says, I want to go. And I'm like, okay. But I think that they have opened it up to realize that, yeah, Master was in the slave quarters.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So
humans
I,
humans.
Right. So, I mean, I do see where that welcoming is starting to open up more. It's becoming a part of company cultures,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, I'm very happy about seeing it there, too. And people being almost excited because I remember at that same job, HR, it was funny. One of the partners of the firm, my boss announced she hired me, one of the partners of the firm was like, oh, what's your name, Shantae? Oh, that's so exotic. Like, let's normalize not using certain verbiage that becomes like quiet racism, you know?
Yeah.
Like, let's
I remember one of my HR people, when she said, oh, you're so articulate. I was like, boom.
I still get that one. I still get that. It's just like,
why are you surprised?
Oh my gosh, it's crazy. Like, I still get that. It's kind of like, it's just like, you might as well just go ahead and say.
Yeah, exactly. But again, it's a skill. Because
yeah.
if you are a white person who's around black people, they would have told you. Mm. We could have an open conversation, I'd be like, I know you meant that. However, and that's really, again, learning that skill. You need to be open to the critique. Too many, because often, and it gets into power.
Yes, it does.
White people are the top of the power structure.
That's true.
So they don't have to be challenged.
No, at all.
And they're not used to it. And they created the system where challenging and like being honest is seen like, oh my gosh, again, we're going to smack
you
down.
Problem, right.
Exactly.
Right.
Instead of like, wait a minute, we're actually trying to make things better.
Right.
Because our experiences as black people, as black women, gay black men, et cetera, haven't been at the table.
No.
And so for me to be heard, I need to tell you,
right,
this is unacceptable. I know you may have done this with everyone else, but don't do it with me.
Right. Right. I agree. I agree with that 100%. And it's been okayed for so long. A lot of yes men, like you said, yes men, yes women, whatever you want to call it, that are right there, right under them, cheering that mess on.
Exactly.
You know, and it's time to kind of acknowledge, push, and say when something doesn't work for you.
Exactly.
It is okay.
People get to be human beings and express and say, wait a minute, that was too far.
Yes.
That was a boundary for me. I appreciate what you're trying to do, but I don't come to work or whatever location just to be talked to any kind of way. I'm
right.
a professional.
Exactly.
And so if you want to provide feedback, provide me feedback, but you don't have to talk about like, I don't understand X, Y, and Z. No. Boo.
Right.
And then you have to take responsibility for your part in this too. You are having a position of power or whatever doesn't absolve you from being human.
You're
just as human as I am.
Yeah.
And for us to communicate effectively, I need to own my role. And
yes.
You need to own yours.
Very true. Very true.
Okay. Well, that's again, coming to the end of this episode here.
So when we step out and we think about Black history, my advice to parents, if you want your children to learn details of their history, teach it to them at home.
I agree.
Teach your children to be empowered Black men and women, and others. Teach them that, you know, because you can't depend on the world to teach it to them, because it'll be a really nasty lesson.
Yeah. And then for, you know, white people, if you want to be better, you have to develop the skills.
Yeah.
Go be uncomfortable. Go into, you know, if your black friend has a cookout and they invite you, go.
Go to the cookout.
Learn, like, not one time, several times.
Right.
Go to black churches.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
get a nice lesson.
Okay, but that's it. We will see you all later. Again, thank you for listening.
All right, bye, everybody.